The Old Testament reading comes from Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill, and quickly write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generations than the son of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and the one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to be true to you? Let's try that again. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Right.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Savior. The text for today's lesson was not one of the three appointed ones because I was working on the sermon for the gospel lesson and it stunk. It wasn't any good. So by Wednesday, I decided I better change gears. So I didn't want to preach on the second one about women being silent because I can get myself in enough trouble. So I decided to pick from John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses was lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." It's easy to be perhaps intimidated by powerful people or by self-righteous people. King David wrote in Psalm 34, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Jesus said in Luke 12, I will tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after killing the body has the power to throw you into hell. Jesus was in a house one night when Nicodemus came to visit. Jesus was teaching in this lesson not to fear men, but to fear the one who can basically send us to hell. Now, Jesus did not fear the Pharisees. He certainly did not fear the Sanhedrin, which Nicodemus was part of. The Sanhedrin was the Jewish ruling council. It would sort of be the equivalent of all of our district presidents of our synod. That would sort of be the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. And Jesus did not fear the Romans. The mighty Roman Empire who had conquered much of the known world, Jesus did not fear them. Jesus even told Pilate, "You would have no power unless it had been allowed by my Father in heaven." Paul writes, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authority, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Remember that your battles are with supernatural forces, not fleshy ones." What an interesting verse that Paul writes. We don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle against spiritual realm. Yes, we are battling Satan. We are not battling individual people. There's a big difference. That's where I can say I can love all people, but I don't have to agree with them because they're fighting on the wrong side, but I love them still as people. Jesus prayed for the people in John 17, verse 11, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. He was praying that they would be strong in the name of the Lord, that they would see the power of his might. See, prayer has a way of alleviating our fears as we assure our hearts of the confidence that we have in his almighty power. Now, Jesus did not even shrink back when the soldiers came to get him. When they came to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus asked, "Whom do you seek?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And then they tried to bind him, and it says in the scripture that they fell back like dead men. Jesus wasn't even afraid of the soldiers or the Sanhedrin or anyone else. He had to deal with the self-righteous all the time. He had to deal with the powerful. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's got to rebuke one of his own disciples, good old Peter. Peter sees just as the Lord's about to be arrested, Peter says, "Well, it's time to get this started." In other words, setting up the messianic kingdom. Pulls out his sword, whacks off the ear of the high priest servant. Jesus says, basically, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink from the cup that the Father has given me?" Excuse me. Jesus reminds us that we can remain calm in situations because he always remained calm. He even answered to the high priest, "I have spoken openly to the world." Now, when we're speaking the truth in love, we do not have anything to fear. Jesus echoes the words of St. Paul, who would later write, "Be steadfast and unmovable." But it is time to take a stand on certain issues. This is how we can apply this lesson. We cannot compromise. We cannot seek a resolution in a peaceful way. And if it's clearly against the Word of God, we can't compromise Scripture. I can compromise a whole lot of things. I could debate with you for hours about taxes, but I'm not going to find something in the Bible that talks about the tax rate. But on social issues, I certainly can find Scripture verses to support the position. Jesus also knew how to answer to his accusers. When he spoke to the high priest in a way that was assumed to be disrespectful, he was slapped across the face. Jesus said, "If I've said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? When you know you are right, don't give up." Now, it's hard to deal with people who have a sense of moral superiority, the self-righteousness that I talk about. Self-righteous people focus on their own holiness rather than on the holiness of God. Nicodemus came to Jesus that night to find out how is one saved. He didn't understand that the Holy Spirit's the one that gives us faith. Nicodemus thought he was saved because of his piety and his goodness, and beside the fact he had his little card in his wallet that said he was a son of Abraham, that would have been enough. But Jesus spoke very clearly to Nicodemus when he said, "Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but will have eternal life." Jesus did not argue with Nicodemus. He just stated the facts very clearly. When dealing with a self-righteous individual, don't argue with them. Just state the facts clearly. The self-righteous people have a habit of going on defense. Right away, they go to defense. But just state the facts clearly, as our Lord did. Jesus appeals to the highest authority he can, that being the Word of God. Nicodemus came at night because he feared the other Sanhedrin. Jesus helped Nicodemus understand that the Christian life is lived through the power of the Holy Spirit, not on reliance on rules, regulations, and the law. Only the Holy Spirit can overcome that almost built into us, because of our sinful nature, a wanting to rely on rules, regulations, and law. We always want to know, well, what do I have to do to get that? It's difficult for self-righteous people to admit they're sinners. Nicodemus did not understand that one either. But he came that night with a lot of doubts about salvation. And Jesus challenged Nicodemus when he said, "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these spiritual lessons." Jesus helped Nicodemus understand that he was a sinner, that he needed the Holy Spirit to generate faith within him. Nicodemus placed his faith then in Christ, and he received the forgiveness of sins. Later, we know in the Gospels that Nicodemus had to publicly declare his faith. Now, remember, he's a member of the Sanhedrin. That's the same council that condemned Christ to death. When Jesus died on the cross, it was Nicodemus who went to Pilate and asked for the body of Christ. Talk about the power of change within a person. He had broken from the ideas of reliance on rules, regulations, and the laws. And in conclusion, Nicodemus can be a model for all of us. We're never too old or too self-righteous to change by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.